This has been a tough preaching year. And then we get to a time for Christmas where the traditional message is one of sort of joy and happiness, perhaps. Oh, I'm not quite there yet. We'll see how it goes. Our opening hymn this evening that we spoke, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and Ransom Captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile there until the child of God appears. This is a song that was meant to transport our souls through time to the people of Israel, wandering through the deserts of Egypt without food or water, stricken by disease, made to be slaves, to conform to a society and culture that is opposed to who they are. We're meant, as we sing that song, I think, to feel the weight and the anguish of their exile. We're meant to feel the power of their longing for someone to rescue them. The hymn that we sing calls us into radical solidarity with oppressed people. Not just those from Bible stories of old, but the real oppressed people around our globe who are in the midst of similar oppressions, who mourn in exile, seeking, searching for a way to just have a better life. And yet another part of me thinks that this song, in so much of the sentiment of this season, just completely misses the point. You see, sometimes I think that hope is dangerous, because hope can have the tendency to make me lazy. Maybe not you, just me. If this song is truly just a cry of a people looking to be redeemed by someone else from oppression, then it is a deeply depressing cry. If the message of Christmas is to just sit in our anguish and wait for God to deliver us, then Christmas is truly a farce of a season. It's offensive. It's utterly hopeless. Because for a vast majority of oppressed peoples around the world, God doesn't send a deliverer from on high. There never comes a season to rejoice, because there is no outside redeemer that magically appears to unshackle the chains of oppression. It just doesn't happen. Again, this is another misunderstanding, for me at least, of the season of Christmas. A dangerous misunderstanding that only serves to perpetuate oppression and prolong exile. What I find most compelling about the season of Christmas, where I find the most light and the most hope, centers on this one word, Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel is often translated that God is with us, and it comes from a prophecy written by the prophet Isaiah in the Hebrew Bible. Isaiah rose up a voice among the Jewish people who were facing injustice and oppression for generations. Speaking to them, he wrote in Isaiah chapter 7, "Therefore the Lord will give you a sign. The young woman will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste." End quote. Isaiah, we're forced, I think, to ask a pivotal question that almost never gets asked. What is the promise contained in these verses? A woman gives birth to a child who is symbolically named God with us. He is promised to be a moral ruler, to choose right, reject wrong, overturn the oppressors of the people of Israel. So is this a promise of a Messiah meant to come one day, thousands of years later, and liberate the people of Israel from their oppression? Is this meant to be a call for lazy hope? For the people to continue in their oppression, praying and waiting for some redeemer to come along from God sometime off in the distant future? Is that what Isaiah is getting at? Is that what that really meant? For a majority of Christians throughout history, this has been the interpretation. And it has led to complacency and a perpetuating of injustice. But what if Isaiah was getting at something radically different? What if Jesus, who was supposed to be the fulfillment of this prophecy, also taught us that this was getting at something different? After all, while Christians and even the gospel writers did their best to construct stories to make Jesus fit every aspect of this prophecy, even if they don't fit, virgin birth, two comings, so that one day he would actually come back and liberate Israel from literal oppression, since he didn't do that the first time. Just stay with me. I'm an angry preacher. Maybe Jesus didn't come with force to liberate his people from injustice like they thought for a reason. Maybe, just maybe, we missed the point. What if the word Emmanuel is better translated God is with us, or even more scandalously, God is in us, or perhaps more astoundingly yet, God is us. Christmas isn't about waiting for redemption to draw nigh, but to recognize that we are the world's redemption, that we are the incarnations of the divine, filled with power, potential, and creativity that can allow us to overturn every injustice, resist every evil, and bring about love and light in our world. What if? What if what Isaiah is getting at? What if that is why Jesus never seemed to care much about marching into Jerusalem on a white horse to destroy the oppressors of Israel? What if his message was, folks, you have the power to do that. God is in you, through you, as you. What if Jesus was meant to be the embodiment of who we are meant to be, of who we already are? Incarnations of the divine. What if we are who we've been waiting for? What if that's the point, the reason for the season? What if Christmas is truly the season where we just allow ourselves to slow down, turn off CNN or Fox News if you're still listening, where we contemplate reality, not our sugar-coated religious version of reality, but the world and our lives as they truly are? We are in an unprecedented moment of American and world history, a moment where so much of the social progress for the common good that we have been seeing emerge over the past few decades are being seriously threatened. We're living in a time where blatant racism, discrimination, homophobia, xenophobia, and abuse have been legitimized by some of the most powerful leaders, not only in our own nation, but around the globe. Where equality, justice, and civil rights are being threatened by leaders who desire to take our world back to an era where people like them sit at the top of the social, political, and spiritual hierarchy at the expense of everyone who is not like them. Not to mention the lack of quality health care, housing, and food available to so many people around the world. We're living in a world that is bursting forth with beauty and light, but also a world that is plagued by greed and injustice and darkness. Christmas calls us to wake up to this reality, to stand in solidarity with the marginalized and the disadvantaged. But it also calls us to awaken to the reality of who we really are. Awaken to the light that is within ourselves, the Christ within us, born in our hearts, who empowers us to be agents of radical redemption in our world. What if this is a message of Christmas, of the gospel, of our lives? What if the message that we're supposed to take along with us on this journey, that we're supposed to awaken to, is that our redemption doesn't come from somewhere else, out there, in the universe or even up in the sky, that we don't need a magical Messiah to ride up on a white horse to vanquish the forces of darkness in our world. That instead, our own choices and actions really do construct our reality. That our circumstances do not determine our outcome, but that we have the power to determine them. What if the message of Christmas is that the darkness exists because we are experiencing amnesia about who we are and what we're capable of? What if the message of Christmas is that born in our own hearts, our own souls, is the light of the world? A creative power that is able to create the abundant lives of shalom that we've always dreamed of. What if we don't have to wait for the redemption to come, but that we can experience it here and now, today and every day? What if? I believe that this is a season for us to take time, to slow down, to light our candles, to contemplate ourselves and the world around us, for us to perceive the presence of God in all things, the untapped beauty that surrounds us and that permeates our very being. This is a season to be reminded that our hope is not to be fixed on some event way off in the distance, like tomorrow morning, hoping that you'll get the right stuff, right? When somebody will finally show up on the scene, but that through one subversive act of love at a time, we can set the world to rights. The rejoicing comes because our redemption isn't far off. It's here. It's now. It's in us. It's through us. It's for us and everyone. It's what we've been waiting for. This is the season where we disconnect, become aware of reality, recover a vision for our lives and our world as it is meant to be, and to move forward, energized by the great gift that we have been given as human beings. We are partakers in the divine nature, co-creators. We are powerful embodiments of God in our world. This is a season of deep reflection about who we are and how we will live our lives. Will we slip back into unawareness and let our lives continue as they have been? Will we close our eyes yet again to the injustices that we are perpetuating or that are happening right before our eyes? Or will we make one choice to do one action, take one step to bring about change, to overturn an injustice, to manifest the love of God, to make visible the invisible kingdom of God? One action, one choice, one decision. And then after that, you know what we'll do? We will make another decision. We will take another step. We will shine our ray of light one more time. It is often, however, so darn undramatic. It may feel so anticlimactic. But as we make these choices form before our eyes, our lives begin to take new shape. Our world begins to run just a little more justly. That's literally it. That's a gift that Jesus came, I think, to bring us. The path that will lead to the transformation of your life, the redemption of the world, awareness that leads to action, choosing how we act, how we think, how we see. Could this be the message of Christmas? A spiritual teacher, Marianne Williamson, writes, and I quote, "According to the mystical tradition, Christ is born into the world through each of us. As we make our hearts true conduits for love and our minds true conduits for higher thoughts, then absolutely," she says, "a divine birth takes place. Who we're capable of being emerges into the world and weaknesses of the former self begin to fade. Thus are the spiritual mysteries of the universe, the constant process of dying to who we used to be as we actualize our divine potential." End quote. We make moment by moment decisions what kind of people we are going to be, whether to be someone who blesses or blames, someone who obsesses about past and future or who dwells fully in the present, someone who whines about problems or who creates solutions. Such choices are made in every moment, consciously or unconsciously, throughout the year. But this is a season. Tonight is the night when we consider the possibility that we could achieve a higher state of consciousness, not just sometimes, but friends, all the time. We consider that there has been one, and the mystical tradition says that there have been others, who so embodied his own divine spark that he is now an elder brother to us, assigned the task of helping the rest of us do the same. The Bible says that Christ was the firstborn among many siblings, that he is in us and we are in him, that we are one with God, that we are the lights of the world. Our redemption, our salvation, our hope comes from within ourselves. And when we awaken and choose to embody this divine energy together, there is nothing that can stop the creative flow that comes from us collectively. That is what the journey of life is about, I'm convinced. Awareness, presence, intentionality, making bold choices, taking big steps, taking responsibility for ourselves and the world. The message is embedded in the heart of Christmas. Emmanuel, God is with us, in us, as us. Think about it. Israel's hope, when they were in the Sinai desert, wasn't some savior who was going to come out and kick Pharaoh's butt, even though that's how the myth portrays part of the story. Instead, it was awakening to the presence of God that had been within them all the time, their own power to take control of their situation and literally shape their own destiny. Moses awakens to his God-given identity, and he steps up, he takes charge, and he changes the world. That is how the story happens for every major figure in the Bible, and the story that is ours to write with our own lives, because Christ is born in you this night, and the story is to be written from tonight forward.